Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Point of View.
Legal matters.
10 minutes after 9 o'clock, as usual, she is in studio and Tabi Seng Dubazana for our legal matters feature. She's our legal resident legal expert. So, of course, this is the time where you call in and you ask your legal questions. Any questions. So we'll talk about various things, but whatever legal matter you have, it doesn't matter what it is. Please call in, ask the question. Tabi Seng will do her best to answer the question. If there's something she doesn't have an answer to, I promise you she'll come back with an answer when we come back on the radio. 086-00-00959, or you can send a voice note on 063-688-0959. Keep them coming in. Tabi Seng, good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Nice to be back.
All right, so we have updates to employee regulations.
Yes, so they've been published. So, yeah, things are going to be interesting. If you recall, is it 3 years or so ago, there was issues regarding management in that pharmaceutical company. I think it was Dis-Chem, if I'm not mistaken, whereby there was a complaint that employees who are white are getting more money than employees who are black, but who are basically having the same job, same criteria, same.
Mm-hmm.
So the Minister has of Employment and Labour has signed into operation as of 10 April, what is the name of this gazette? It is the Employment Equity Regulations, right? Mm-hmm. So it's now going to be added to what we already have under the Employment Equity Act. And it's very interesting. And I thought perhaps maybe we should go through it. It's kind of long, but it kind of gives us an idea on,
It
is that we are supposed to deal with.
You know what everybody wants to know?
Yeah.
How do I know my colleagues earning X as opposed to I? How will I get that information? So it's, of course, we expect companies to comply.
Yes.
But how would I know? And how would I make sure that they comply?
So that part I don't think is covered in this one, but I could be wrong. I didn't read all the way to the end. But what I found very interesting is the meaning of equal value for work, right? So the employment regulator says that an employer must, in order to eliminate unfair discrimination, take steps to eliminate differences in terms of conditions of employment, including remuneration of employees who perform work of equal value, if those differences are directly or indirectly based on a listed ground or any arbitrary ground that is prohibited in Section 6. Section 6 is the nice one.
Mm-hmm.
It sets out the grounds on what it is, the criteria of assessing what equal value is. So I get usually what we hear in work, corporate spaces, is that, no, this person has X amount of years, hence they have more experience than you.
Or more qualified, even though you're doing the same thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then when you go on, I remember the one corporate type of job I once had, my manager, she was managing admitted attorneys, so people who have LLB and have admission in the High Court, but she didn't have matric.
Mm.
So whatever we were saying, and she was white, whatever we were saying, she wouldn't hear what we're saying because she doesn't understand what the LLB, what LLB requires from you, what law requires from you. So people were always at loggerheads with one another, well, her and her subordinates, you know? So now the question is, why are you in management in the first place when you don't even know the first thing about law? You don't even have a matric certificate. You know what I mean? And then here they say, assessing whether work is equal, is of equal value. In considering whether work is of equal value, the relevant jobs must be objectively assessed, taking into account the following criteria. This is Section 6 now. The responsibility demand of the work, including responsibility for people, finances, and material. So usually, let's say you are working here at Kaya House and you live, I don't know, in the East Rand, and Kaya has different branches in different areas, if they were to move you from the East Rand to come and bring you here,
yes,
they need to give reasons and they need to take this into consideration. But what we see in the workplace is that, no, we've decided that we're going to move you from branch A to branch B. Mm-hmm. And branch B now is going to cost you financially because you're going to take two more taxis, or it's going to cost you more in petrol because it's another 50 kilometers away from home. All these things. These things are never considered when people were being juggled around, or when you're getting appointed for work. Yes, when you made the application, you saw that you work, the work is going to be in the East Rand, but you live in the North. So were you going to make accommodations for that? That part is understandable. But once you are within the system, when now you are supposed to be told to go from point A to point B, management usually did not consider this. So now they are being forced to consider that you can't just deploy me as and where you want without considering the financial implications of my move and the responsibility that I would have. And who is going to be responsible for all that I have, that I'm supposed to be dealing with in that other branch? These things were never considered before. So now they're going to be forced to consider them, employers, once they make these moves. And then skills, qualifications, including prior learning and experience required to perform the work, whether formal or informal. So now, like I said, now I'm being managed by somebody who has a matric certificate. Why am I being managed by somebody who doesn't know what I'm doing? How am I supposed to relate my queries? How am I supposed to make her or him understand where it is that I'm coming from? You know, that's the formal part because it's actual education. Mm-hmm. Informal, there are people, for example, I remember before LLB was a thing, they did BProc, and then others were legal secretaries and whatnot. When you're a legal secretary, you work very close hand in hand with an attorney. So you get to know what the law is about. So that could fall under the umbrella of informal. But if you're going to find somebody who was perhaps an administrator in a financial sector and now they're now in the legal space, those things don't correlate. So how do you then take their years of experience in the informal sector in this one and make them marry each other? So now these things would have to be considered. And in as much as we think we don't, employees don't know, they know. They know who has qualifications. They know who earns this much. They know who does that. And as a result, if that is raised, you have to deal with it now, as per these regulations.
But it then brings to the fore a conversation we've had about constructive dismissal that often has happened when people bring up issues of discrimination or unfair labor practices. So it's going to be tricky.
That's when Section 7 now comes in.
Okay, tell us.
So Section 7 says factors justifying differentiation in terms of conditions of employment. Remember, Section 6 is setting out what you should follow to try and balance out the conditions of employment for Ntabiseng and Pemelo who are working in the same sector. It goes all the way up to subsection 4. Now, Section 7 says if employees perform work that is of equal value, a difference in terms and conditions of employment, including remuneration, is not unfair discrimination if the difference is fair and rational and is based on any one or a combination of the following grounds. One, the individual's respective seniority or length of service. Aren't we still back at the same place?
Yeah, because another thing that we would have to ask is whether now that this is in place, are the companies expected to go and review and adjust some of those salaries, remunerations?
Per the regulations, from the 1st of September 2025 up until the 2nd, I think, or April 2030.
So they don't need to wait for you to come and complain. They are supposed to adjust it accordingly themselves.
Correct.
Never going to happen.
They're never going to do that. But they're there. I'm just putting
never
it out
gonna
there.
That is not going to happen.
You were asking about constructive dismissal. Mm. So subsection D says where an employee is demoted as a result of organizational restructuring or for any other legitimate reason without a reduction in pay and fixing the employee's salary at this level until the remuneration of employees in the same job category reaches this level.
Would it then be legitimate for a company to take a look at all of this and do the right thing and reassess what's happening and get to have a conversation with some employees to say, look, we've been overpaying you, right? You should not have been getting the salary. We are now required by law to adjust your salary. Would that be unfair, or how would that?
Based on Section 7, it would not be unfair. Mm. It would not be unfair because you have to make sure equal work, equal pay. You know, if I'm doing the same job that you're doing, I should not be penalized just because of my skin color, for example.
So, in essence, there would not necessarily be a budget problem in the business. Mm. It would just be adjusted.
Yes.
In other words, money would be moving from one person to another just so that the playing field is level.
That's correct. That's correct.
So there wouldn't be the excuse that there is no money.
Yeah.
You are supposed to level the playing field.
Yes.
Not necessarily get more money to pile on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know at home, listening, that you've been overpaid, you should expect an email or something. I'm not sure it's going to happen, but what I'm saying is it would be reasonable if the company decides to do the right thing and have a look at what's happening and feel that they need to comply with the law.
Yeah, definitely. Hmm. And also the employer has a duty now to collect information and conduct, like you were saying, an analysis.
An audit of sorts.
Yes. So there's a form that's called, it's going to be called an EEA1 form.
Mm-hmm.
And in that form, the employer is expected to provide information into Section 19 of the Act by reviewing its workforce profile.
Okay.
And employment policies, we always talk about this.
So just so we're clear, and I think this is important for those who run small businesses or whatever type of business. At this point, you will then be required to actually do a whole audit.
Correct.
So you have to.
You have to. From the 1st of September 2025.
So this is important because, folks, you know how everybody complains about everybody's unhappy at work. Everybody's unhappy at work. This is... If your company is doing the right thing, don't think they are victimizing you. Don't think this is, you know, things have changed here. Yeah, since whoever has come in, you know, things. It's by law.
Correct.
They should actually be doing this.
Yes.
They should be having a look at every single one of you under their roof, reassessing, auditing, who's got what qualification, all of that. And by law, they should be adjusting those salaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And like I said, looking for work profile, employment policies, we always talk about this all the time, practices, procedures, and the working environment in order to identify employment barriers which adversely affect people from designated groups from being equitably represented across all occupational levels. And the outcome of the analysis must be reported in the EEA 12 template.
So... the scenario would be you would have manager X who's been there for a long time, because I want us to use practical examples.
Yes.
If manager X has been a manager for 20 years, 20 plus years, ample experience, and in fact knows what they're doing, right? Because they've had 20 years to excel. However, manager X is not qualified, right? But is excellent at her job. And then you have a person Y who is more qualified but junior because they haven't been in the job they're younger. They haven't been employed for that long. And their experience is perhaps, 5 years? Okay? And there may be tensions here because the younger person who is more qualified with a fantastic, I don't know, master's degree or whatever the case may be, is, yes, younger, less experienced, but is more qualified and perhaps also just better.
Yeah.
Because they now come in with this qualification and obviously probably also recent. What then becomes of this scenario? Because... the manager is not at fault. In other words, the manager actually is a good manager.
Mm.
They know their job and they're good with what they're doing. But then you have this issue of one saying, well, I should be above this 20-year-old service manager. Well, how does a company or how
to be drafted? Mm-hmm. We'll see impractical when they start doing it. But Section 6 seems to say that in that regard,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have to balance formal mm-hmm. qualifications mm-hmm. with informal experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If this one outweighs the informal, you as the informal with your 20 years may have to be demoted, for lack of a better term, and then this person comes through and takes over the seat.
But what does weighing it up mean?
So weighing it up seems like it will be in terms of Section 19, which is all the way down. So now you need to do a balancing
checklist.
So Section 9, before we get to 19, says you need to prepare an employment equity plan.
Okay.
So now we need to balance things out in that situation.
In a sense, what that I think is saying is that in as much as someone can leave a university with a master's and maybe have never worked before, but comes out with a master's.
Yes.
And then you have somebody who's been working for 20 years with maybe just a matric.
Yeah.
Depending on the work they're doing and what's required of that job, you may find that the person with a master's degree, yes, may be more qualified, but the value we get from the one with a 20-year experience is more equitable.
Yeah. Yeah. That is basically what it means. So the dates I was getting them wrong is 1st September 2025 until 31st August, not April, 2030. Employers must refer to the relevant codes of good practice. Remember, I always say code of good practice dictates to us how it is we're supposed to run our businesses in accordance with the Labor Relations Act. And then it says the EE plan must contain at minimum all the elements contained in what they call an EEA 13, which include the workforce profile, the relevant 5 years, sectoral numerical targets, what it is that your business in the next 5 years has to achieve. So obviously different sectors would, let me make an example. In our space, candidate attorneys, it used to be that one of the requirements was that you have a driver's license.
Mm.
You are not going to get articles if you did not have a driver's license.
Mm.
So black practitioners, I don't like the word black, African practitioners made an application to the LPC. At the time it was the Law Society, and said the issue of driver's license prohibits a lot of our people from getting articles, and therefore they do not get the experience,
the
they
opportunity.
Need. Correct. And then it was tabled, it was discussed, and there was a lot of invitation for practitioners to speak their piece. And the reality is, our demographic, getting a driver's license is still something that is not achievable. Most people do not have cars at home, or even if they do, get a timer somewhere or whatever the case may be. But also the financial aspect of going to go get your lessons, paying for your learners, all of those things, most of our people were not able to do that. And as a result, they are there with their LLB degrees and sitting at home, but they cannot get work because they don't have a driver's license.
Dabisan, can we pause there for a second? Because we've got some voice notes coming through.
Can we have a same work, same pay kind of a complaint or grievance? Because that's what we were sitting with Msebenzini, City of Tshwane, and then whenever we raised this issue on the corridors, we are talking about the conditions of service. I mean, you are doing the same work. One is earning 7,000 and the other one is earning almost twice, not even twice. One is earning 7,000, one is earning about 17,000 from the same way that we are doing. So what is the way forward?
So there, Section 12 says income differentials and discrimination. And then sub 1 says a designated employer must submit an income differential statement in terms of Section 27 of the Act to the National Minimum Wage Commission by hand or electronically as contemplated in Regulation 10. An employer who becomes designated on or after the first day of April is only required to submit this differential statement. So in other words, the employer now is now forced.
Has to send this, this audit.
Yes.
This audit report in.
Yeah.
And even if they don't have the conversation with you, someone else is asking them about it.
Correct. Yeah. So now that you, where now you're getting 7,000, that person's
they
getting 21.
They will be asked.
Why?
On your behalf.
Yes. Why?
Okay.
And then they now have to answer as the employer as to why they're doing what they're doing.
That's so interesting. Would there be a penalty?
Yes. So enforcement, it has to be, there's going to be a compliance order, mm-hmm. in terms of Section 37 of the Act.
Mm-hmm.
And then an inspector is going to be requested to obtain an undertaking from the employer in terms of Section 37 that they're going to reform and change. And then there has to be a service compliance order in terms of Section 37, handing a copy to the employer, and then leaving one at the employer's registered office, and then emailing a copy to the employer's email address. Here it is, certificates. Okay, withdrawal of the EEE compliance certificate. It can be done if the inspector says that the employer is not complying. So when they withdraw that, then you can't work anymore. You have to first go fix your stuff. So it may lead to your
termination.
Your office, your business. That's the word I'm
maybe
looking for.
Maybe if you need to be registered as a business, whatever the case may be, you will be penalized.
Yes.
And maybe if you participate in tenders and all of that, you will not be able to get that kind of work.
That's correct. Perhaps. Yeah, that's basically what they're saying.
Or revoking of your registration. And
that's
so on.
Correct, actually.
Let's take a listen to another voice note.
Hi, Phumelo and Thabiseng. Last week you did talk about Taba Tsabana, who have been given to the grandparents. So I just wanted to ask a question, Hori. Does our justice recognize Kaolo Yabana, a father, Atama Alu Kaolangwana, but not married to Mahoman? I just wanted to know, do our justice recognize a tlhaolo ya bana as an actor?
You've been here before.
But actually, yes, Section 19 has it as it's a one-liner in Section 19, that if the father has adhered to certain traditional requirements. I care we're talking about Section 19 dads, mm-hmm. who are not automatically given rights over the kids. So yes, it does recognize that, and it takes it as a factor when we now arguing for either access or primary care of the minor child. So always, it does take it into account.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we go back to our issue?
Yeah.
All right. So at the moment, if you are running a company, you have to comply.
Yes.
Or at least you have to, first of all, get your house in order, mm-hmm. clean up, have a look. You can do that yourself before they ask you why.
Yes.
Have a look. Audit yourself. Have a look at who's earning what. You need to think about those adjustments, or at least the reasons why you are going to keep things the way they are.
Yeah.
Because you will then have to comply with the law and explain yourself if there are discrepancies or what seem to be discrepancies.
Yes. Yes. And then furthermore, you need to, as a designated employer, take into account any of the following to the extent that they are consistent with the purpose of the Act, the inherent requirements of a particular job. So just because Ntabi Seng has been working there for 20 years, it doesn't mean she can go and now oversee a bunch of auditors. What does she, Nahana, a lawyer, overseeing auditors, we don't do numbers.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Whether there would be a legitimate extreme case where, after having gone through all of this, there's reason to, I wouldn't even know whether you can call it dismissal, but to constructively ask the individual to leave their post because it just doesn't make sense anymore. Maybe they've been at the job for 30 years.
Yes.
And you know, they're not qualified. 30 years in, they have not done enough to, I don't know, to improve on their qualification or take the opportunity to do that. And the skills that are required now require someone with a qualification.
Yeah.
Is that something? And now they need to justify this now to the law.
Yes.
Can they think about dismissing this person?
From what I can see here on Section 7, it seems like that could be covered, because it says that Section 7, subsection F, it says the existence of a shortage of relevant skill or the market value in a particular job classification and any other relevant factor that is not unfairly discriminatory in terms of Section 6. So any other factor would probably cover that aspect to say we have looked, but there's absolutely nothing we can do. You either don't qualify, you don't have the enough experience, whatever, we have to comply with the law. Failure for us to comply with the law, we would get into trouble, and we don't want that. So, yeah.
Apart from equity, is this an opportunity for companies to explain why they choose, because some deliberately choose, yes, strategically choose to employ a particular level.
Yes.
Because they want to keep the salary bill low.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? That happens all the time.
Yes.
Small businesses, well, you know, actually, I only employ matric level people because that's what I can afford.
Mm.
Otherwise, I would not be able to employ someone at level X.
Yeah.
Is that something that they would have to now start
explaining? Yes, in the employment equity plan, you need to show what your plan is. In the next 5 years, what are you looking at? Are you saying for 5 years you can only afford to hire matriculants? There's not going to be managers. There's not going to be... Explain to us what your trajectory, what your vision is for the company, and show us in numbers. So they're specific to say, give us the numbers so that we can see what it is that is going on that side.
That's a lot of admin.
Yes.
That's a lot of admin. That's, I seriously, this is, it's all well, but it's a lot of admin.
It is.
Swoon Tefontaine, good evening and welcome. Hello.
How are you?
Good. Welcome.
Good. Sustainable for another time, another slot. Yeah, going with a certain party now is focusing on the expropriation bill over the VAT issue. But anyway, coming back to the matter at hand, certain type of thing.
Yeah, ended.
An associate of mine lost an employee, right?
To death or?
No, not the company.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, a very good employee who was an asset to the company. But in about the space of 2 months, discovered that the employee has been having their own business on the side. And this is in the IT space. And they are now doing work for a client of theirs that had cancelled an SLA contract a few months back.
Okay.
So in this scenario, the restraint of trade clause, can they apply it?
Yes.
In this, and just a second part.
Yeah.
Apply it, because now the concern is that the ex-client is actually like a law firm, right? So obviously, being a law firm, they know about the restraint of trade. But they did let this relationship with the ex-employee take place. What are they confident about? Are they confident that they can take the ex-service provider on and they can win the case? That's a concern, you know?
Well, just because people are attorneys, Boo, doesn't mean that sometimes they understand to the full extent what the law says or what it would do. Hopefully there's something we call interpretation of the law. You would think that I'm interpreting it this way and it is something else. So if the NDA was drafted in such a concise way, and the law firm decided to continue with the business, knowing that this particular former employee already had an NDA in place, then they can be cited as a second respondent. I mean, for crying out loud, we've seen now on the JSC interviews that there are some law firms that get fraudulent FFC certificates. So, you know, what I'm saying to you is that just because it's a law firm, it should not scare you to take them on, because there's always a chance for you to actually get what is due to you.
Okay, so there's no ace up their sleeve, a loophole that they know of or anything like that?
Without having a look at the contract and the NDA, I can't say yes or no definitively, but there's always a chance. And like I don't know if you were listening the other week or so, wherein we were talking about Rule 41A. So even if you were to take them on, you still have to sit down and mediate with them and see if there's a way to reach an agreement and stuff before it is set down for trial. But with that on its own, that mediation is made an order of court. So I would say take them on. Let's see how far it will take you, and then see how much it will force them to cower or bend over to a settlement agreement.
Okay. All right. I guess it's worth doing an actual assessment in terms of also funds. In terms of it won't be something that won't lead
anywhere.
That's
correct.
With much funds spent.
Agreed.
Okay.
Thank you, Smoo. All right. We've got a voice note in Tabise.
I have a question to ask. If the employer asks you that because of the experience you have within the company, they choose you to go overseas to go and see the goods that are coming, the products that are coming here in our country, good in good condition, and then they ask you to go and do a passport, and you have to do tests, all this malaria injection, blood test, urine test, all those things, and then you pop out the money for doing that. Now, if all of a sudden the manager tries to put someone instead of you on that position, but the bosses, because they're not around, they're always in overseas and coming maybe sometimes maybe after 3 months or 4 months here in South Africa, who have asked you as a senior employee that they wanted you, but now the manager here, he decided otherwise, but you have already popped out the money for all those tests and passport and etc. Now, should the employer compensate that money for me, for the doctors and all those things, or is it not? I just want to know that.
I'm sure they would have to. Anyway.
It's within the bounds of your work.
They were supposed to do it in the first place.
So unless your company has a policy that doesn't make sense, that anything relating to their work, you still have to pop money out. It shouldn't be that way. If you're going to be executing your duties per your contract on behalf of the employer, it should have been part and parcel of what they were paying for in the first place. Otherwise, ask them for your money back if they're canceling
they should,
it.
Anyway, they should have had to.
They should have.
But
yeah.
Anyway, look, office politics, that they choose somebody else, there's nothing you can do about that. But you can ask them to pay you the money of what it is that you spend your money on. All right, let's go to Jabu in Kempton Park. Hello, Jabu.
Evening, Bom. It's been long. Hope all is well.
All is well.
It's good.
I have two questions. As a client who's consulting with Dubazana Incorporated,
yes, sir.
Do I have the right to request access to another court system?
Court online?
Yes.
Okay. So court online, you have to register onto court online. So there's nothing that's preventing you to have access to your case on either case lines or court online. Ne? So what you need to do though on court online, which is the latest system, you would have to register yourself there. So that, because the way it's a halangating, when we open a file on court online, when we cite the parties, we even include email addresses of the plaintiff and the defendant, alternatively the applicant and the respondent. So if the parties are not already registered on Court Online, you will obviously not have access to the matter. So go Court Online, register yourself and all of that so that you can be invited to the matter. Ne? And then with case lines, you don't necessarily have to be registered. No. All you can request your attorney to do is they must send you an invite on case lines. And if they are struggling, you can just go to the relevant court, either Pretoria or Joburg, to the registrar, and then they can give you access to the matter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jabu. Thank you. Let's take a listen to another voice note.
Good evening, Thabiseng and Pamelo. A quick one, Thabiseng, is the employment equity regulation and the numerical target sectoral thingy, is it aimed to make sure that there's a representation, you know, in terms of race, you know, in terms of the top management or the high echelons of the companies, you know? Because my reading into it with all these plans and targets and everything, I feel like, is it a way of government trying to make sure, Kuba, like there's a fairer representation, women, black people in top management and the likes.
Does it touch on race?
It touches on discriminatory barriers. So that or based on gender and race, it does say that, but it kind of...
Just maybe give me a sense. What does it mean?
I was reading it earlier. I'm trying to find it because it says that.
If I am told... that I cannot get, as an example,
yes.
Right? If I'm told, let's say I live in Swane, and I started the job living in Swane, right? And I would like to do, let's say it's Kaya. I would like to do the breakfast show. And generally people are here around about 3 o'clock, whatever the case may be in the morning. But the reasons they decide not to give it to me is because they think I live far, as an example. Would that be a case to look at? And I can say, no, I can wake up at 3. Just because I live very far away doesn't mean that I can't wake up at 3 o'clock. You guys are discriminating because... I live far.
Yeah.
Would that be something?
It can be a ground. Okay. Because remember, in the same breath, when they want to deploy you to Tshwane from here, you're going to say, but you need to compensate me because it's too far. You know, so those are the things, the dynamics that would be looked at to say, okay, if you're saying you can do it, let's give it a chance, Rebone. Let you be the one to let them down and not come here at 3 a.m.
A situation where someone legitimately cannot get sales manager's job or a sales job because they don't have a vehicle. And the job requires for this person to move around, even though they may be compensated for petrol or whatever the case may be, but you still buy the car. Would that be a barrier that's considered?
Yes, because unlike, for example, the one that I gave you with the LPC and our candidate attorneys, that is a managerial position.
Yeah.
It's not an entry-level position.
Yes.
So if the requirement that you need to be in Kaya FM studios in Tshwane and then you need to travel to the one in the East End and then back here again, it is expected of you to make a plan. So if you happen to buy a car, great. If not, make a plan to make sure you go to all these places that you're supposed to go per your job requirement. But if you don't do that, that can be reason for you to be removed from the job or reshuffled and sent somewhere and most likely also be demoted from that position.
Except the argument of the employee may be, don't worry how I get there. Just give me the job. Would that be a reason enough?
Yes. In terms of the Employment Equity Act, yes, you can be given the job and all of that because you said you can do it.
Because I'm saying, no, look at my... I can sell.
Yeah.
I can sell. You haven't heard me say I can't get around. Don't worry how I'm getting around. I can sell.
Yeah.
My track record shows that I can sell. give me the job, whether I have a car or not, yes. I'm getting to my clients either
yes.
way.
Yes, they can give you the job. They definitely can. Oh, and I found the part that Ndate was asking about. It says a designated employer must conduct an analysis as required by Section 19 by reviewing its workforce profile, employment policies, practices, procedures, and the working environment in order to identify employment barriers which adversely affect people from designated groups. So now we're talking about black people, white people, colored people, Indian people.
There's another little unspoken truth in corporates. I mean, I'm just saying corporates, but actually I think in many businesses. And this is of businesses not always keen to employ a particular age group of women because that's when they're likely to have children.
Yeah,
that happens a lot. Because they do not want somebody going off, and they literally ask you when you apply for a job, are you married? Are you not married? And this is a way of just trying to assess.
To sift also.
What are the chances that you're about to get pregnant anytime soon? Because when you're pregnant, we're going to have to now have another, I don't know, 4 or 5 months where you may not be here. And it's always so boring. And there's also another group of women who sometimes get discriminated against because they would be off fetching children at school.
Yeah.
They are off when a child is sick. It's a thing.
It's a real thing.
It's a thing. And this particular person may not get promoted because
Your children
are always sick. Your children, you are always fetching children. Busy after school. You have forever children this, children that.
Yep.
And that's a reality for many.
Yes. And in terms of the Employment Equity Act, that is unfair discrimination.
Yes. So you can be given a promotion whether or not you have children to look after when they're sick, whether or not children need to be picked up from school.
Yes. And it's supposed to be designated groups from being equitably represented across all occupational levels. So whether it's entry level or senior management, everyone, it has to be now across the board equitable. So yeah.
Can you challenge a culture in a company?
Yes, you can, especially if you can prove that that culture goes against what the LRA and the Employment Equity Act says.
Mm-hmm.
So if the culture is like, for example, what you just told us now in your scenario, you can take that to the CCMA. It's unfair labor practice. Because already it may end up with you leaving the workplace because it's too hostile. Like the case we were talking about last week of the female pastor. It was too much. And then she ended up resigning and it was deemed constructive dismissal. So those things, when they start, I always say start with your internal process. Find out what the procedure is at your work so you can lodge your grievance, follow it through all the way to the end. And when you're still not getting joy, you use all of that as your proof to take it to the CCMA to say, unfair labor practice, this is what happened and I'm not getting joy. So they can make a ruling in your favor. So the CCMA ruling is binding. That's another thing that employers seem to ignore, that it's just the CCMA. You know, it's an order. It's binding on you, and employers choose to ignore it, and then you have people calling the radio station or wherever to complain and say, I have an order, but the employer is refusing to adhere to that order.
The culture thing is tricky.
Yeah.
Because you arrive in a business, in a company where there is a culture of, I don't know, let's say people have drinks every Friday. And these are late drinks. And generally, you find out on a Monday that this is where real stuff is discussed. And maybe you don't have a car. And you always leave at 4 o'clock. So when the drinks happen, you're not there. You're not part of this wonderful camaraderie. And you get left out. And you maybe find out that, yeah, but if you were there, you would have known, bro. We spoke about it at drinks. And you're thinking, But that was outside
the working hours
of the formal channels of this. No, bro, but you missed out. Why weren't you at drinks?
Mm.
Bro, we spoke about it at drinks. You know, where they constantly refer to. But we spoke about it at drinks. What then would be the way to deal with that?
You are expecting your line manager to tell you what it is you're supposed to do, even if it was at drinks. The fact that you were not there and your contract says you're supposed to work from 8 to 4, 8 to 5, whatever the case may be, nothing obligates you to work beyond that time. And if your employer is choosing to do drinks from 6 or from 4:30 when you leave or whatever the case may be, then whatever that is discussed that is work-related, your employer has to formalize it, because that was not a formal space. It may be work drinks, but it's not work. Are those people getting compensated,
bro,
for example?
If, bro, you should be, if you want to know what's happening, you should be at drinks, bro. I mean, like, you know, we're all at drinks. Bro, you're the one that chose not to come to drinks.
No, not the point at all. I'm still supposed to know what happened, what needs to be done. You cannot.
Bro, if you want to be a team player, you must come to drinks.
I am a team player. I am here 8 to 4. I don't have to be there from 5 to drink.
The baby's laughing. But that's how it works.
True.
Bro, if you want to be a, like, this is a team, bro. This is a team. If you want to be a team player, be at drinks. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with more after this.
Voice note your point of view on WhatsApp.
063-688-0959.
Kaya.
959.
On the street. On the air.
So you're saying it's getting a bit warm from my drinks comment. Suddenly she's now realizing this drinks thing could be a problem. Because, you know, Patko. Patko has got
times, eh?
Patko 525.
Yeah, am I?
Bona, you better be out there because the bus is going to leave, and that's your problem. Because if you do not catch that last bus,
it's over.
That's it, bro. If you don't, bro, you should be at drinks, bro. You should be at drinks. Bizu ano shavana li patko.
I think the one thing that gets to me is that as we were talking, I actually experienced that, and as a legal advisor,
it happens all
in house legal advice every Friday.
People are drinks, bro. People are drinks, bro. People are either at golf, you're not a golfer, and things go down at golf or at drinks, bro. We're now busy with Patko.
Hey.
Patko ya usia mule waputa. And that's another thing about the Patko bus.
Right? Yeah.
This Patko bus, always kind of the timing. The timing means you must leave maybe 5 minutes before the actual time.
Yes.
And then when you start pack, they're going to start saying, she will always be packing at 5:00 to 4:00. But that's because you must be at the bus stop at 4:00.
Yes.
Either, so you don't leave at 4:00. You leave at 5:00. You are packing, because that's the truth of your own transport reality. But we're not going to say that. We're going to say, always. Have you seen how she packs at 1:45? She packs her bag.
She doesn't even focus on work anymore.
Come 1:45. Tabitha is busy packing to leave.
Yeah.
Talk about commitment.
Yeah. Mm. That's what happens. Mm.
That's. I mean, have you seen how she packs? At 1:45. We're still in a meeting. Here she is packing to leave,
and excusing herself from the meeting, she misses vital information.
Or they call a meeting at 4:00
intentionally. Yeah, knowing what your situation.
Because
is.
Of course you're going to ask not to be at the meeting, or can you do it early? No, Tabi Singh. Everybody else is here at 4:00. You're the only one that can't make it.
And
can you not make a plan?
That time when I fell out of manga patko, everybody has cars.
Of course.
Everybody
but everybody else, can, that's the only time everybody else can make it. Oh. Can you, I mean, the entire team can make it, can only make it at 4:00.
When I pass your image. Unfair labor practice. It's fine.
Is it unfair?
Is there really a reason why we can't postpone it for that day?
Absolutely. We're all busy. No. Everybody's got deadlines.
No.
Everybody has deadlines.
No.
And this the only time. 4 o'clock is the only time we can have this meeting. Can you not make a plan?
No, I can't. And as a result, I should not be penalized for it. This was well known before this meeting was set. You as management know that I have to leave at 4. This is another thing also. Tabi Seng should communicate. If there's one thing that I've seen that is a problem, as employees, we don't tell our employers what the problems are.
Tabi Seng.
I know, but say it.
They know it.
Tabi Seng. I can't.
I equally. They know.
No, they do.
They know.
No, they do.
They also know when there is a strike.
Yes.
Or your dicks.
And they don't care.
And the person will be like, is it another strike?
Yes.
Yes, it's another strike. It's just the way it is. Oh, who died now? Is this your another uncle? How many uncles do you have? Is it another grandmother?
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah.
Where do people find you?
People can please send us an email on info@dubazana.co.za or send us a WhatsApp on 0796547523 or call us on 0872658010. We are at 37 Harley Street in Radburg.
Thanks, Tabi Seng. See you next week.
Next week.
Thanks, folks. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.